Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing due to crying. To this Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes, but with his mother's pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. In this second prayer of Damodarastika, you're getting particulars, the specifics of the particular pastime. Once again, remember, you're not meant to pass over these details quickly. They are meant to absorb your consciousness. You're meant to meditate on each aspect, known in Sanskrit as vishesh. These different aspects are triggering in you remembrances of being with Krishna. And these different aspects fulfill your longing for beauty and love. The aspects of the Damodarastika are saturated with pure emotion. And by immersing yourself in these prayers, you will not be so bound to the material manifestation of emotions in the temporary material world. The living entities like to engage in various bhavas or emotional states. Generally, we use the term bhava to indicate the preliminary stage of pure love of Krishna. After bhava comes prema. Also, bhava can refer to any intense emotional state. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the kshatriyas as having ishwar bhava, this emotional state of being the controller. And the demons are described by Lord Krishna as having asurika bhava, this intense emotional state of being a demon, anti-Krishna, like Kamsa, Dantavakra, Shishupala, and others. It's not just a theoretical or intellectual state of consciousness. It's an intense, enthralling, emotional state that consumes the whole being. This Damodarastic prayer seeks to consume all the devotees in pools of liquid ecstasy, as we'll find out in the next verse we discuss. Iti driksa lila be ananda kunde. The prayer seeks to plunge you into the ananda kunda, the pool of liquid bliss derived from the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Now, yesterday we were discussing Mother Yashoda chasing Krishna. Just that aspect of the pastime alone is inconceivable. Because how can anyone capture Krishna? Even the greatest yogis, who through penances and austerities, developing mystic power, even the greatest gyanis, through trying to understand what is matter, what is spirit, they cannot catch Krishna. They cannot even catch Paramatma, the super soul. What to speak of catching the original personality of Godhead? Not possible. But Mother Yasoda caught Krishna with her love. That was the only way possible. As we discussed yesterday, Krishna is already caught by her love. So this pastime is demonstrating the Lord's voluntary agreement to subordinate himself to his devotee's love. We briefly discussed yesterday the beautiful scene of Mother Yasoda chasing baby Krishna, the flowers streaming from her hair as she ran after him. She's got a stick in her hand. And she's getting tired because she's got a thin waist, heavy breasts. Remember, we discussed the Vedic standard of beauty, Sumajama. Quite different from the current standard of beauty, when what the lady is supposed to be as thin as a rail. Is that it? Twiggy style? That's the standard, huh? That's the perverted Kali Yuga standard of beauty. But Mother Yasoda, her spiritual form, shows the perfection of beauty as she's chasing little Krishna. And now in today's verse, she's caught Krishna, who, as we said, cannot be caught by the greatest yogis, by the greatest gyanis. She's caught him by her love. Krishna agreed, okay, you can catch me. Now you're hearing that Krishna is afraid of her. Queen Kunti Devi, in her prayers in the first canto of Bhagavatam, also mentions how Krishna is afraid of the stick in Mother Yasoda's hands. Bhaya Bhavanaya Statasya. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who agrees to be conquered by his devotee's love. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev explains how the functions of nature are going on out of fear of the Supreme Lord. But here you see the Supreme Lord is afraid of the stick in Mother Yasoda's hand, as Kunti Devi has noticed. Just see, the Supreme Lord is afraid of a woman. Sometimes people say, oh, yeah, the women in Krishna consciousness, they don't, you know, they're downtrodden. Of course, anyone who says that can just come to the Gaur Yoga Center. They might come to the opposite conclusion. In any case, just see, Krishna agrees to come under the control of a woman, and he's afraid of a woman. People in bodily consciousness cannot understand bhakti. Mother Yasoda, she catches him, and she's got a stick in her hand. Krishna sees the stick, and immediately he makes his strategy, his plan of action. He's afraid she's going to punish me with that stick. So his plan is that he will manifest such fright that Mother Yasoda will put the stick down. So in this second prayer of Damodarashtaka, you're hearing the details of Krishna's fright plan. Rudantum mahuanetra yugvam rijantam karamboja yugmena. With his two lotus hands, all the parts of Krishna's body are compared to lotus flowers, because the lotus flower is considered the most beautiful thing in the material world. So just to give you some idea of Krishna's beauty, He's described as having lotus eyes, Padmalochan, lotus navel, Aravinda Naba, lotus face, Mukha Padma. Lotus feet, Pada Padma. Queen Kunti also makes a prayer about that in the first canto. Those of you who like to learn verses, you can learn all the prayers by Queen Kunti, the liberated woman. So she prays, Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamaline, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangre. She's offering her obeisances to Krishna, who has so many aspects which are lotus-like. That means unlimitedly beautiful. With the Lord's little lotus hands, what is he doing? Satankanetram. He's rubbing his fearful eyes. He's really getting into this fear of Mother Yashoda. Krishna is tasting the nectar of being afraid of his mother. From his eyes are coming tears, so much so that the black mascara or ointment around his eyes is running down his face. Simultaneously, Krishna is breathing very hard. Muhuswasa kampa, chire kanka kanta. He's sobbing, breathing heavily. He's admitted his offense to Mother Yashoda. Yes, I did it. Because he sees the stick in her hand, so he's confessing. Obviously, he's thinking if he confesses, then she'll put the stick down. Not only is he breathing heavily and the tears are falling from his eyes and he's rubbing his eyes with his two lotus hands, but also he's making his whole body shake with fear. I don't know if you've ever been that frightened that your whole body shakes. His body is shaking so much that the pearl necklaces around his neck are shaking. He's really into this. And he's successful with his strategy. Mother Yashoda puts the stick down, thinking, I don't want to make him so afraid of me. It's not good if my child grows up so afraid of me. So she puts the stick down. She sees she's caught him by one hand, and she's got the stick in the other hand. She's holding his hand, and then she's got the stick in another hand. So she agrees to put the stick down. Still, she's going to mildly chastise him. She has to do her duty. This is the amazing thing about this Damodar Leela. Mother Yashoda does not think Krishna is God. She thinks he's my son, and I have to train him so he'll grow up properly. We discussed yesterday how in Vrindavan, the Yogamaya energy of the Lord doesn't allow the residents to see Krishna as God. Because Krishna wants to enjoy the confidential, spontaneous love, devoid of awe and reverence found in the Vaikuntha planets. Now what does Mother Yashoda think? All right. I don't want to frighten him so much. Still, I have to chastise him. And also, he's so frightened and in such a emotional state right now, he may be so restless and run out of the house as soon as I turn my back. And I don't want him playing with his friends because he's been naughty. You know, he's got to be punished. So all those reasons combine to cause Mother Yashoda to desire to bind Krishna with rope to a grinding mortar. That'll stop him from playing with his friends, which he shouldn't do because he's been naughty. That'll stop him from running out of the house because he's in such an emotional state, so restless. Those reasons, she decided to bind him. Now, what is the special thing we should remember about Mother Yashoda's attempts to bind baby Krishna? Stitta Grivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhatam. You cannot bind Krishna with a rope. You can only bind Krishna through devotion when he agrees. This is the important thing to remember. Bhakti Bhata. The Lord is bound by bhakti. Not exactly by the rope. You know what happened. Mother Yashoda got a rope and put it around Krishna to bind him to the grinding board. And the rope was 2 fingers too short. Then Mother Yashoda got another rope to add on to the first rope. Again, 2 fingers too short. She kept adding rope after rope onto the rope to get around Krishna's waist, to tie him to the grinding mortar. But the ropes, no matter how many accumulated ropes she had, adding one to the other, always too short. So she got all the ropes in the house she could find and tied them, extending the length. And still, all these ropes combined together couldn't go around Krishna's waist. The elderly gopis of Vrindavan, they were watching, they were smiling. Mother Yashoda herself was smiling in astonishment. Not that they were thinking Krishna is God, they're just thinking, here we go again, another one of Krishna's, our little Krishna's amazing activities. Still we're going to bind him though. That's what they're thinking. They're smiling, they're astonished, but that's life in Vrindavan. Krishna's always doing amazing things, but he's still a little boy and we're going to punish him. And Mother Yashoda was getting fatigued by this. More flowers were falling from her hair. And she began to perspire a bit. In the material world, perspiration is a symptom of a material body, unclean. But in the spiritual world, all the bodies are spiritual, so the perspiration is also spiritual. So Mother Yashoda's perspiring as she labored to bind Krishna. That perspiration is a symptom, just a manifestation, an artistic manifestation of beauty. You don't think of your perspiration like that. It's an artistic manifestation of beauty, but that's what it is for Mother Yashoda. Whether she's perspiring or not, she's all beautiful. So the beauty manifests in different ways. Flowers falling from the hair, fatigue is a symptom of material body, but in the spiritual world, fatigue, the fatigue of Mother Yashoda in chasing Krishna and trying to bind him, is just a flavor of spiritual life. There's no ignorance, tamoguna, associated with it. Krishna, seeing Mother Yashoda's efforts to bind him, and seeing that she's getting fatigued, even though that fatigue is non-material, he decides, okay, you can bind me. He allowed her to. Now the amazing thing about this is that Krishna has no beginning or end, no inside or outside. Yet, in Vrindavan Leela, he agrees to have these forms. His original form, which for loving exchanges is like a human body. Even though it's like a human body, actually he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He contains everything. That same Krishna, as an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, lies down on the Garbhodaka ocean in the bottom of each material universe. And from his navel comes a lotus flower upon which Lord Brahma takes birth. That means from the abdomen of the Lord, everything is contained. Now Mother Yashoda is trying to get a rope around that abdomen of the original personality of Godhead. It can only be done by love. Therefore, we're meditating on Bhakti Baddha, the Lord's being bound by the devotion of Mother Yashoda. This great fortune of Mother Yashoda's cannot be achieved by the greatest demigods in the material world. Krishna's Parameshwara, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Lord Brahma says in the beginning of Brahma Sanhita. Krishna controls everything, yet here he is agreeing to come under the control of his devotee's love. That agreeing is known in Sanskrit as Vrityavasyata. He agrees to become subordinate to his devotee's love. This is the amazing thing about Damodar Leela. This favor that Mother Yashoda got, the Bhagavatam explains, cannot be gotten by Lord Brahma, who's the Adikavi, the original creator of the universe, the Adikrit, the original creator. It cannot be obtained by Lord Shiva. Who is Lord Shiva? Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. You know, Lord Shiva is in his special category. He's not Jiva. He's not part and parcel of Krishna. And he's not Vishnu. He's not God. He's in his own special niche called Shiva Tattva. We have Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and there's Shiva Tattva. Lord Brahma describes that Lord Shiva is comparable to yogurt. Yogurt is milk, then again it isn't milk. So Lord Shiva is in between Jiva, living entity, and God, Supreme Personality Godhead. Still, he cannot get this favor that Mother Yashoda had. Who else cannot get? Even Lakshmi Devi, who's like half of the Lord's body. She always accompanies the Lord in Vaikuntha. She cannot get this. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says three times, Nalebhire. When you say something three times in Sanskrit, that's very emphatic. Just like Harinama, 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 Eva Kalevalam. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Gatya Anyata. No other way for becoming spiritually perfect in Kali Yuga except through the holy name of the Lord. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Certainly no other, certainly no other, certainly no other. In the same way, in reference to Mother Yashoda's extraordinary, unparalleled favor that she received, the Bhagavatam says, Nale bide, Nale bide, Nale bide. Brahma can't get it. Shiva can't get it. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, can't get it. What you are hearing is a situation that the greatest yogis, the greatest demigods, the greatest gyanis, speculators, metaphysical scholars, they can't anywhere come near this status. You see, bhakti is the culmination of a long process of karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all types of yogas described in Bhagavad Gita culminate in bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham tantikatam papam jananam punya karmanam. He says that you can only approach him if you put a complete stop to sinful activity and you have a background of pious activity. Who here can say that that was their background before coming to Krishna consciousness? Yeah. Who here had made a complete stop to all sinful activity Even our little Chloe, she was a meat-eating family. She missed the parties and the booze, but so who can say that they came from a background which was antikatapapam, complete stop to sinful activity. And jananam punyakarmanam, who here can say that they have a background of pious activities? People don't even know what pious activities are. Did you ever think, what is a pious activity before coming to Krishna consciousness? Probably thought, you know, giving a, you know, giving 50 cents to a, you know, a beggar on the street, or someone who's playing music on the street, that's a pious activity. To a busker, you know, you know, give 10 cents or 20 cents or something, that's a pious activity. But even if you had this kind of background, still it doesn't bring you directly to Krishna. Why is it that we have this direct access to bhakti during the most degraded time of the cosmic manifestation, Kali Yuga? You have that direct access because of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna himself can give out love of Krishna freely, even though we have no qualification. So that's what's happened. Therefore, we should always remember our undeserving situation, and we should not take Krishna consciousness for granted. We should every day revel in the extraordinary opportunity we have. The rarest thing in existence you have now, every day you should revel in that. How glorious this is, how wonderful this is that I'm here. You have the chance to make your human form of life a success in spite of birth after birth of sinful activity. You get to hear about Mother Yashoda's binding Lord Krishna. The rarest, most extraordinary event, you get to hear about it and taste it. And the fact is, if you properly perform the process of bhakti, you can enter into these pastimes with Krishna. Today you can think about Krishna showing his fear of Mother Yashoda, rubbing his eyes with his lotus hands. Think about hands so beautiful, they look like a lotus flower. And the tears are coming from his eyes, the black ointment is running down his face, his body is shaking, his pearl necklaces are shaking, he's sobbing and breathing heavily. And Mother Yashoda puts down the stick. And then she tries to bind Krishna with the rope and failed, but Krishna finally agrees.